beginning with Joshua chapter 1. Just two verses, verses 16, 17, and 18. And they answered Joshua, saying, that is the children of Israel. Moses had died. Joshua had been made their commander. And Joshua had told them what was in store for them. And he was going to be their leader, appointed by God. And at the end of that message, this is what the children of Israel said. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And wherever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Listen carefully at the words of this next verse. Whosoever he is that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Remember, that's the children of Israel talking, answering Joshua. Look over, please, to chapter 6, two verses from chapter 6. They're about to go in and conquer Jericho. And this is one of the first commandments that Joshua gives after the people have agreed that he is their leader and will do whatever he says. Chapter 6, verse 17. And the city, that is Jericho, shall be accursed, even it and all that are in it, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verse 18. And ye in every way keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and trouble it. Chapter 7, verse 20. Joshua has spoken, the children of Israel have spoken, they go in, and they capture Jericho, and this is one of the things that happen. Chapter 7, verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them. And behold, they are hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And this is one of the most chilling, solemn passages in the scripture, the next three verses. And Joshua and all the children of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day, so that the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. In just one verse, you don't have to turn to it, in Job chapter 33, verse 14, these words are found, for God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God speaks once, yea, twice. Yet man perceiveth it not. Man doth not lay hold of it. Man doth not disturb it, observe it. Man doth not regard God's word. When I was a boy, I don't remember a sermon preached on this particular passage, but when I read it, I remember the feeling that I used to have when God's servants would come and speak on passages such as this. God speaks once, yea, twice, and man perceiveth it not. Watchman is another one. Watchman, what of the night? And I remember the fear that used to grip my soul because I wasn't saved. And I knew that I had not perceived or laid hold of God's word. And that if the Lord Jesus came, I would be left behind. And I can still remember sitting in my seat in the Gospel Chapel at Spanish Wells and listening to messages from God's word. This, I think, is one of the most solemn passages in the word of God. God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man doesn't pay heed. And while it's my intention to think about the second part of the verse, man perceives it not, I never cease to be amazed at the first part of the verse. God speaks once, yea, twice. If you think of who I am and you are and who God is, why would he speak? What would cause him to look down upon a world that is so antagonistic toward him? Men today will listen to anybody but God. Man hasn't changed. Why does he continue to speak to mankind? Is it because there's something inside of us that calls forth his attention? Something that we have done, some goodness, some great act that causes God to regard us? Is that the reason that God continues to speak? Well, if filthy rags impress him, I suppose that would be true, because according to the Bible, that's what God thinks of our best work. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. Moses stood before a bush that burned. And the bush was not consumed. Now, sometimes I think we lose sight of the awesomeness of the power of God in situations like that. Have you ever seen, of course you haven't, have you ever seen a bush totally consumed, totally surrounded by an engulfed in flames, and yet green, unwithered, unscarred? Well, God was in the midst of that bush, and he wanted to teach Moses who he was and why it was he wanted him to go into Egypt. But my point is, God is not affected by fire. You are. I am. God is not affected in the least by fire. He talked to Moses out of the midst of the bush. Remember Nebuchadnezzar built an image in Daniel. Everybody had to fall down and worship it. If you didn't fall down, they would throw you in the oven and burn you to death. Three of his children wouldn't bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They found them standing when they should have been bowing down. They took them to the king and he gave them another chance. Bow down. And they said, no, we won't. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king. If our God, whom we serve, he said to save us, he will save us. If he won't, we will not bow down. And the countenance of his visage was changed. He got so angry at these men that he looked like a different person. And he commanded that oven be heated seven times, as hot as it was, so hot that the people who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire were destroyed by it. And the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar looked in the midst of the fire and he found not three men, he saw four walking. And the form of the fourth was like the Son of God. Not only
is God not affected by fire, but whom God would protect and insulate, they are also unaffected by fire. It says that when they came out of the fire, not even the smell of the fire was on them. They were so protected by it. One of the things that we fear most, God is not affected by. Have you ever thrown a star in space? Ever seen anybody do it? You ever seen anyone stand over a grave? People say they can, or maybe this is the only thing they haven't said yet. They can do everything else. Stand over a coffin and speak to one who you know has died and bring that person back from the grave. No, you haven't. And you won't. Not in your lifetime will that ever happen. God alone has power over death. And just like Achan died as a result of his sin and disobedience to God, so you and I, those who don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior, will die as a result of sin. I said in the morning meeting just before this one, there are two things in Scripture that are not, you can't separate them, sin and death. The wages of sin, according to the Bible, is death. And the reason that as Christians we are separated from our death is because someone died for us. The Lord Jesus took upon himself the pain of death so that we could go free and never die. But only God has power over death. One day you will die. One day, if the Lord doesn't return, I will die. The story is told, fiction of course, about a man who came running into his master's house with the fear of death upon him and the pale of death upon his face. And he said to his master, "Quickly, give me a horse. I must go to Damascus." And the master said, "Why? What happened?" He says, "I have been into the marketplace and I have seen death. And I want to flee. I want to get away. I'm afraid." But his master gave him his best horse. And away he went into Damascus. But the master thought he would go into the marketplace and see if what the servant said was true. And he did. He went down and there he saw death walking in the marketplace. He thought he would speak to him. He went over and said, "Are you death?" And he said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Why did you scare my servant?" And he called the servant's name today. He came here, saw you, and was afraid. "Oh," said death, "he wasn't the only one that was set back by that encounter. That I was very surprised to see him here." He said, "Later on today, I have an appointment with him in Damascus." You cannot change your appointment with death. That is you. The time of one's death has been already appointed by God. It is appointed unto man, the Bible says, once to die, and after death, the judgment. Wherever you go, however many horses you ride, the time of our death is something that we cannot escape from. When God spoke through Joshua to the children of Israel, to the 12 tribes who had come out of Egypt through the Red Sea, only one man in the entire nation failed to heed God's word. And that man was a very privileged man. There are things about him that we don't know, of course. We don't know where he was born, but he was, according to the passage we read in chapter 7 of Joshua, he was a man with a wife, children, and he was old enough to have oxes and asses and sheep and fairly successful apparently, so he wasn't a boy, he was a man. I'm going to assume that he was born before they came out of Egypt. That would be 40 years ago. If he didn't, then the things that I will say, if he didn't experience them, he heard them Moses went into Egypt from that encounter with God in the desert. And he called upon Pharaoh to let God's people go, and plagues from God plagued the land of Egypt. And Achan was probably in the land of Goshen and watched as God spoke to Egypt and to Israel through mighty power. And when Egypt finally said no to God, and Pharaoh said, "We will not let them go," for the last time, the angel of death came through the land. Warned by God, the children of Israel killed the little lamb. Beautiful picture of the death of the Lord Jesus. Each family killed a lamb. A lamb that they had kept up. So it would be a perfect sacrifice, as near as possible. Because it would speak of the perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus. They slew the lamb. Do you know if they had slain the lamb and gone about their business, they would have died just like the Egyptians? What happened that caused them to be protected? They applied the blood of the lamb. They put the blood in a basin and put it on the side post and the upper door post of the house and stayed inside. And however weak the faith of those people within those walls, they were secure. They were hidden under the blood of a substitute. God came by and said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And the Bible says that night there was not one house in Egypt. There wasn't one dead. God had spoken to Pharaoh and to Egypt with flies, with frogs, with locusts, with blood. And they said no. God speaks once, twice. God speaks over and over again, and they said no. Pharaoh at one time said, "Who is God that I should obey him?" And the children of Israel spoiled the Egyptian and went out with a mighty arm. And Achan either saw it or heard about it. And if he was too young to see it sometime during the wilderness journey, because we know he was there, someone told him, "See the manna that comes down every day? That's a gift from God. He feeds us miraculously every day. And as he feeds us, he speaks to us, telling us of his mighty power." And if he didn't go through the Red Sea, they would say, "And just before you were born, we were encamped outside of Egypt, between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea. We didn't know what to do. God had miraculously brought us out, but we thought we were going to die. Pharaoh was after us with his chariots and horsemen. But God put a pillar of cloud between us and the Egyptians. In its power, he put a cloud between us and our enemies that would cause darkness to come on them and light on one side to us. And he blew with the wind, and the Red Sea opened up, and we marched across because God, in his mighty power, spoke. We went across on dry ground, and God caused the wheels of the chariot to come off those of the Egyptians. And then when we got safely across, God turned the Red Sea back onto our enemy, and they were all destroyed. And we are here in the wilderness on the way to the promised land because of the power and majesty of God. And Achan would have either seen or heard that one day the snakes came into their camp because of their disobedience. The snakes bit them, and they died. And those that were dying could look upon a pole that Moses had put a brazen serpent on. Another picture of the Lord Jesus. Remember, in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. If they looked at the brazen serpent, they were cured. If we look at Jesus, we are saved. That's what happened to Achan, or maybe Achan saw that. And on and on and on we could go with illustrations of how God, in his mercy, spoke to Achan and showed him his power. One thing we do know he saw was that they eventually got to the River Jordan. The story is told in chapter 3 of Joshua. This army of Israelites, they had got to the border of Israel once before. Moses had sent in 12 spies. 10 of them came back and said, there are giants in the land. Oh, there are lovely fruit and land flowing milk and honey, but there are giants in the land and we don't want to go in. Joshua and Caleb said, the Lord is with us. But they turned back and all of the grown-ups who came out of Egypt died in the 40 years in the wilderness. So Joshua wasn't, Achan wasn't grown up when he came out of Egypt, that's for sure. And he grew up during those 40 years, married, got a family, got cattle, and was blessed of God. And finally they came to the Jordan. Jordan speaks of death, you know. There where they were, encamped before the Jordan, which speaks of death, which overflowed its banks. How precious is the word of God as it tells us of God's almighty power. The word from God was, ask the priest who bear the ark, step into the Jordan, it shall dry up. And it was the time of harvest, and Jordan was overflowing all of its banks. When God does something, he does it in a big way. And that river which speaks of death, hindering God's people to enter the promised land, opened up. And Josh and Achan went through on dry ground into the land of Canaan. And when they were all through, the waters came back as they were before and overflowed their banks as they were before. And Achan looked at that. And so again, as you and I look back on our lives, as you and I remember the Word of God being ministered to us about the love and grace of God, and the God, the Holy Spirit, has awakened our understanding to our real need that we are sinners, and He is the only Savior. And as God has allowed circumstances to come into our lives, maybe the loss of a loved one, maybe a terrible sickness. And God has placed us on our back so that we could look up to Him and allow us to trust Him. There is a sad but awfully untrue message going through Christendom today that, and it's very popular, that you should be saved before you die. But if you don't get saved before you die, then after the Lord Jesus Christ returns, then you'll be able to go to your pastor or whoever else, and you will be able to trust the Lord Jesus. Friends, if you've heard that message, on the authority of God's word, I tell you that it's a lie from the devil himself. Do you remember Noah? Do you remember that he preached for over 100 years? He preached and preached and preached, and God spoke, and man perceived it not. They laughed at him as he built this big boat. One day, Noah and his family went into the ark, and God came down and shut the door. And every person outside of that door drowned. They beat upon that door, I believe, with all my heart, open unto us. We believe you now. How many were saved? Not one. Every person on the face of the earth, except Noah, his wife, their 3 sons, and their wives, died. And if you are here today without the Lord Jesus, and you go out of that door having heard the message of salvation, and you say, as Achan said in his heart, when he saw the gold and Babylonish garment and silver, not today. I'll take my chances. I won't believe God. And you go out and you die. there will never, ever, in time or eternity, ever will you have another chance to hear the gospel or to be saved. Joshua told the children of Israel that if you take of anything that is in Jericho, it will be accursed. The city has been accursed. The things in it, and if you take anything out of it, you will be accursed. And you remember the story. Achan said, I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, and I coveted them. He had seen demonstrated before his very eyes the awesome power of God all of his life. And just a short time before, the very river that blocked their entry into the promised land rolled back. He had agreed with Israel, Joshua, whatever you say we will do, wherever you command us, we will go. And if we don't, let the man who doesn't die. He agreed. He went and he saw that wonderful, unusual military occupation of Jericho. Around the walls of Jericho, the army, the children sing seven times to us, but once every day. For 6 days and seven times in the seventh day. And on the seventh, after the seventh time, a shout was made. And the walls of Jericho, which were very formidable walls, we don't know everything about them. We know there was at least one house built on them, Rahab's house. By the way, how many times did Rahab hear God's word? She heard, she told the spies, of what God had done to your enemies on the other side of the Jordan, and our spirits, our hearts melted within us. And she said before the spies left, bless me and my father's house and save us. And the men said, if you take this scarlet line with which you are going to let us down and tie it in your window, then your blood will be upon us. But if you go out, your blood will be upon your own head. And when they left, she waited how many weeks? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? Immediately. Immediately. Dear friends, if you're here without the Lord Jesus, this is the message of the gospel. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I can't promise you 5 minutes from now, much less tomorrow. And Rahab took that scarlet line and tied it to the window. And she was safe. Because the men of God had promised her. Achan was a part of that military campaign. He looked at those walls descend into the earth. He went forward. And Jericho was conquered. Everybody was slain. Wonderful victory for the people of God. Short time later, the next town was Ai. Ai was going to be a walkover. Small town. Joshua sent the men in. Very small town. 2,000 to 3,000 men is all we need. I almost feel the arrogance. Number one, they had not asked God. They were going to do this on their own. And the men, the Bible says, did flee before the men of Ai, and 36 of them, I think the word says, were killed. And they came back to Joshua, and Joshua fell in his face to the ground. All day he and the elders put dust in their heads. And the Lord said at the end of the day, Joshua, why are you doing that? Get up. Get up. And he said, but Lord, what will the nation say about us? They will consume us. And what will they say about your great name? And Joshua, and God said to Joshua something like this, well, it's my great name that you have maligned. My word was given. My word has been broken. There's sin in the camp. So Joshua said, the tribes in Judah came, and then the family, and then the man.
And Achan was found, and we read the story, how he sore coveted his soul. And as a result, fellow Christian, as a result, the people of God were absolutely powerless. Their next campaign was a failure because his sin had infiltrated the camp and caused God's hand to be pulled back from blessing. You have to be careful when we sin. We don't only affect ourselves, we affect those around us. But as I said before I read the passage, there isn't a more chilling tale in the Bible than you read verse 24 of Joshua 7. This is him and his wife, Joshua's son. His wife isn't mentioned, his sons and his daughter. His gold and his silver and the garment, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tents, and all that he had. And God said through Joshua to him, you have troubled Israel, God will trouble you this day. And they burned them to death. There isn't a man alive today that can say, I have Achan as my forefather. He was blotted out from the face of the earth because he disobeyed God. And I don't think there's another story that shows the severity, the completeness, and the swiftness of the judgment of Almighty God. God speaks once, yea twice, man perceiveth it not. In the flood, God spoke. As I mentioned, for over 100 years, and those who didn't perceive and didn't take heed died in the flood. God continued to speak to his people and to the world. He spoke to them in the law. He spoke to them through the prophet. And if you read the last verse of the last chapter of the Old Testament, the last phrase says this, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The Old Testament ended with the curse of God hanging over the people. And for 400 years, there was no message from God. 400 years, God was silent. And then God spoke again for the very last time. Previously, he had sent his servants to speak. The last time, he came himself in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Born in Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus would come to give to the earth, to you and to me, God's final message. But not only God's final message. He came that he might stand in the place of us before God. We were hopeless and absolutely helpless. Hebrews 1 verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto our fathers through the prophets, as in these last days spoken up to us through his Son. God has spoken in the last way, for the last time, as he gave his Son to be the Savior for our sins. Where do you stand today in your relationship with God? Has God spoken? I shouldn't ask the question that way. What I should ask is, what have you done in response to God's word to you? Each of us who are gathered here, as I ask my own heart, where do I stand in relation to God? The question has to be answered. The question that God will not allow you to escape from. One day we shall all stand before the Lord Jesus. Either we will stand before him at what is known as the judgment seat of Christ, where rewards will be given to those who love him, or at the great white throne judgment, where judgment will be given. And all the dead, small and great, stood before God, and the books were opened. And the recordings by God of your work will be read off, and judgment will be meted out And the Bible says, you will be cast into the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Fire, where the worm dieth not. But I thought worms and everything died in fire. Remember the burning bush? The bush was burned. The bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. Isn't it something that one day those who reject the Lord Jesus will be in fire? Hot fire that will burn, but they will not be consumed. But the good news is that today the Lord Jesus Christ is ready and willing and able to save. There was a young woman just over 20 walking the beach in California late night with a loaded revolver in her hand. You know what she was contemplating? The very story tells us what was on her mind. The phone of a Christian rang, and it was her on the other end. And this is her story. She said, I'm just over 20, and my husband has just divorced me. My infant son has just died. And I have just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I've left the hospital unannounced. I didn't tell them I was leaving. And I got this gun and I'm walking the beach. She said, but several months ago, a friend of mine who's a Christian gave me a New Testament and told me if I ever needed help, I should call you. And there was ever a time that I needed help now. Well, he went ahead to ask me questions. He said, well, did you read the New Testament? Yes, she said. What did you find out? She said, well, it sounds like there's a life story of a man during the beginning of it, the first four books. It sounds like the story, life story of a man named Jesus. And then there's some other story telling us how we can live and what we should do. He said to himself, you've got that better than most people that I know. And he said, I can't tell you that God is going to save your life, that everything's going to be all right, your husband will come back. But I can tell you this, that the message of that book is that it's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe that and trust him, regardless of what life you had, don't think about it, just trust him. She hung up the telephone, and he waited. About three quarters of an hour later, the phone rang again, and she was on the other end, and she says, I call with a peace in my heart that I don't know how to describe. I know that what you said is true, that things still look awfully bad for me down here. But I have given my heart to the Lord Jesus. And I have a peace that I cannot describe to you. Would you like that peace today to hear about it? It's called in the Bible the peace that passes understanding. If you have sleepless nights, they will probably go. If you have difficulties in front of you, they will probably not disappear. But he'll be with you as you go through them. And work them out for his glory and for your eternal good. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the seriousness of it. That those who have gone out into eternity without the Lord Jesus, not taking heed or listening to your word, will forever be in a place called hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. But oh, Lord, we thank you. That the other side of that coin is that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Perhaps there are those here, Lord, who don't know you as their Savior. Today we pray that they will open their hearts, invite you in and know the peace that passes understanding and go, as the Ethiopian eunuch did, to go on their way rejoicing, we simply pray as we give you our thanks. In Jesus' name.